Did you know that I ain't afraid of no ghosts is a double negative? We've got all sorts of random, fun, awesome craziness coming up.
We got lots of info, let's rock and roll, it's Did You Know with Ryan O.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Ryan O. In case you didn't know, I'm Ryan O, this is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. Ray Parker Jr. was a genius when he created that theme song. Now, for those of you who are just now joining us on this adventure known as Did You Know with Ryan O, the podcast, let's talk about the podcast. It's a journey through all sorts of fun things, facts, figures, stories, movies, crazy randomness, but mostly it's a story about getting to know people and what they're interested in, and try to find answers together in this awesomeness called life. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun, and you might even learn something. So without further ado, let's do this. You know, in this show, we talk about all sorts of awesome stuff and randomness, but we don't do it alone. Most of the times, we are graced with a special guest, and today is no different. So welcome to the podcast, Rachel Doggett. So since the last time you were on this show, which was when, like Halloween?
Oh, I think it was Halloween, yeah. Because we talked about witches.
That's right. It was the hurricane when you guys were trying to escape potential scariness.
Yes, and then we got a drop of rain.
Well, at least it's better than not leaving and then everything happening.
Exactly.
And plus, we got to talk about witches and alcohol, and it was a fun time.
Oh, yeah. Right on. Good trips.
So, since the good trips, what have you kids been up to?
Let's see. I'm at practice. Cross country ended. Track has started. John has started up his community band again because they took a break over the holidays.
And so the community band sort of thing, is he playing oboe in it or just whatever instrument they need him to?
Oboe. And then he's also doing like, I think this like little knit group. It's like kind of like a little, it's called the Gated Community Band. It's like selective members in a little mini band.
When you said knit group, I immediately thought that he was like crocheting.
I wish.
Or
that'd
like
be great.
Sewing.
Oh, that'd be cool. Just sew and make a little crochet things while you're playing your instrument.
Or you could make crochet instruments.
Yes.
Or like a saxophone blanket or like an oboe blanket.
Yes. Or a giant pillow.
Ooh, that could be fun.
Yes.
So if you could have like the weirdest giant pillow ever, what would you like a pillow to be in the shape of or look like?
I have one at my house, which is a giant fish.
A giant fish pillow?
Yes, it's a giant fish. It's like a giant, like, sea bass.
Is it ill-tempered or is it just happy looking?
It's just happy looking.
Okay. That's a good sense.
But I would totally go for a penguin-shaped giant pillow.
They make those. Those exist. Those are things.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll put that on a list. If those of you want to make it happen, email me, and I'll give you guys the details.
Yes.
Speaking of email, let's talk about the Mailbox of Doom really quickly, which is a weekly spot, and by that I mean like every other week because I don't record every week. It's where I check emails and Facebook and whatnot and try to find answers to questions. So recently I've gotten a lot of spam mail.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you hate spam mail?
It's annoying.
And spam phone calls too.
Yes, I just had one actually while I'm on this podcast right now. Like they just keep calling me.
And the worst part is, like, they found a way to clone the first six digits of your number and try to randomize the last ones.
Yeah.
And so for me, though, my first three digits say Detroit, and I don't know anyone ever in that part of Detroit. So immediately I see that area code, and I'm like, Yeah, no, I'm not going to pay attention to this.
Exactly. Same here.
So the most recent email that's spam that we got is about obtaining top-of-the-line braces to elevate pain. Yeah, they said, we understand that that pain is inevitable, but if we can help alleviate your pain with our top-of-the-line braces, please contact us at, and then there's a really fishy link and whatever, yours truly, Jeff, it's fake. So top-of-the-line braces. So in your phone calls and whatnot, that people are calling you, what are they trying to get you to do? Like, give them money to, like, some Nigerian prince or something?
Sometimes, or donate money to, like, I'll get calls from, like, from Central, my alma mater, and they'll just, like, oh, please donate money here or whatever, and then the other times I just don't answer.
Do they leave, like, really weird voicemails?
They don't even leave anything. They just call and then just call. No voicemail.
I once had them call, and it was a... it's always the weird ones when they're like, you're going to go to jail unless you respond in the next 24 hours. It's like, that was 24 hours ago. No one's come for me. So, if you're going to threaten me, at least follow through with it.
Exactly. I think I heard someone on the news that actually, like, fell for that and, like, had to deal with, like, a lot of money, like $100,000 of money that she had.
It's just not right. And what I want to do, like, when they call me at an appropriate time, which is never, is I want to just talk to someone in circles for an hour, because if anyone who's listened to this podcast knows, I can talk in circles for an hour. But I want to talk to them just to keep them from talking to other people, keep them busy. So I have a question about the weirdest thing you've heard lately in the news in your area. What are some weird things that are happening in South Carolina?
Weirdest thing. Well, I guess I wouldn't call it weird, but I believe it was Tuesday that all the teachers that were able in South Carolina marched themselves up to the Capitol and, like, protested to make sure that we get our voices heard, that we want more pay for our job.
So they're going up there to try to increase pay for... just because you guys spend so much time outside of work, prepping for work and whatnot, so you guys should get compensated more. I'm all for that.
Yeah, that's probably like the thing I can hear about this week. And then this week traffic has been really bad just because of South Carolina. It's bad traffic, and plus they cut off like this major road to redo some railroad tracks, and it's like completely detoured everybody else, and no one knows how to drive.
That's scary. People are idiots.
Mm-hmm.
People are complete idiots. So speaking of idiots, here in Florida, the weirdest thing I've read is a county clerk steals stripper fees to pay for husband's Home Depot habit. That was the weirdest headline I read recently. So immediately from that, because this is the segment known as Only in Florida, where weird things could happen only in the swampland known as Florida. Given just that headline, what sort of story do you think is behind her having to pay for his Home Depot habit? Like, what did he buy?
Or what does he continue to buy?
Yeah. So
over and over.
Do you think he bought like 17 refrigerators, or is he building a house somewhere?
Or he's like got a gambling problem. Maybe he buys a bunch of like refrigerators or whatever and like tries to like sell them off on the black market or something.
That sounds like a fun movie. We should make that movie.
Yes.
What will we call that movie?
Florida Man Strikes Again.
Florida Man Strikes Again. Okay. Nice. So according to this, let's see. She saw the bills her husband was racking up in Home Depot. She knew where she could get the money to pay for it. She said strippers. So she worked at a clerk in Palm Beach County and collected fees for the adult entertainment licenses the county issued strippers. So over 3 years, she was able to siphon over $27,000 worth of those fees until she was caught.
Oh my gosh.
So she stole money from strippers to pay off Home Depot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Instead of, like, you know, talking to her husband, like, why are you spending all this money at Home Depot?
Well, at that point, like, if you have at least $27,000 worth of debt at Home Depot and your partner doesn't, and you don't know about it, number one, shame on you. Number two, having that conversation might not be enough because that person needs help.
Yes. Yes. Don't bail them out. Just get them help.
And then do you divorce them? Depends on
the situation, I'd say.
And then for stealing strippers' money, he's like, that's not any better.
No. Oh, no.
That's
it's
worse
all kinds of wrong happening
the
there.
Strippers worked hard for their money.
Yeah.
They worked hard for their money.
Oh, jeez.
So hard. Yeah. So... Every day, fun story about yours truly. I have music stuck in my head all the time. Like, you know how some people, when they're left alone, they start thinking about, like, things and having questions about many things. And so, like, when you're left alone, do you have music in your head, or are you constantly thinking about things, or is it... Also, like, what's going on? What goes on in your head?
When I'm alone?
Yeah.
Today I had music stuck in my head. And that kept me distracted for whatever I was doing. If I'm at work, I'm thinking about what I gotta do. Or I'm thinking about food.
So you're constantly thinking about the future, about what's happening ahead of you?
Yeah.
I had Michael Jackson songs stuck in my head for a half hour.
I was given a test today, and I recently got the Greatest Showman soundtrack, and so I had a couple of their songs stuck in my head.
What is your favorite song from the Greatest Showman soundtrack?
Well, that one's a hard one. I think it's Come Alive. I think it's part of the movie where he's, like, getting all of his, I don't want to call them minions, but all of his show, like, to come together and, like, come alive. And I really like that.
So one of my favorite songs from The Greatest Showman is the duet, the Other Side.
Oh, yes. That one's also one of my favorites.
It's a good time because Zefron's fantastic and Hugh Jackman's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have the revamped album?
No, we bought the original one.
Because the revamped one has songs from Kesha and Pink, and it also has stuff from Panic at the Disco.
Really?
It's
like, are they
trips.
Singing the songs?
Yeah.
Or are they different? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, they've redone it. It's good trips.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
It's a musical journey. My head is just always full with crazy music at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Which it doesn't help that every day I hear the same hour and a half loop. Because that's just what happens when you work at a fun place in Central Florida, surrounded by lots of people. There's lots of music to keep everyone occupied. And And so like
nuts.
And after an hour and a half, I hear Smash Mouth, All-Star. Hey now, yes. You're an all-star. And then an hour and a half later, hey now, you're an all-star. And then an hour and a half later, hey now. And so I've learned so many different songs, and they've all been stuck in my head at all times. But that's kind of how it's always been with my head. It's just been random and crazy at all times. So let's talk a bit about how you got to here. So when did you know, this is us switching gears, when did you know that you wanted to be a teacher?
I was in 10th grade.
10th grade. What inspired you to want to make that decision?
It was honestly my biology teacher that I was having that year. She was different than I'd say all my other teachers. In terms of she was more energetic and always kept us on our toes. And I actually liked science that year instead of other years I've hated it.
Do you remember the things that you were studying that year?
We dissected a pig. I remember that.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. We learned a lot about the brain.
Did you guys get to eat the pig and put barbecue sauce on it?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay. That would have been a good time.
That would have been a great time. Should have that. Should give it their ideas next time.
Yeah, we can just open it up, look at it, and then give it over to the barbecue master and have them turn it into something delicious.
And that's funny because we have someone that does barbecue at school, so we should have just, put them together.
That would have been epic. So she inspired you. Or your teacher was a she? He?
She.
Okay, and they inspired you to want to make things interesting. And what was it? How they did it? Did they do fun stories and get you interested? Or
yeah, fun stories, lots of different activities. She gave us more ownership of our learning instead of lecture, I would say, and I wanted to bring that to the table.
So you wanted to allow the kids to find out things themselves as opposed to just trying to find a way to beat the system?
Exactly.
So 10th grade leads you down the path of trying to become a teacher. So walk us through that. So you're 10th grade. So that's what, you're about 16, 17, just learn how to drive.
Yeah.
So you're driving around Michigan in your Jeep.
Uh-huh.
And you're going from this swanky place to this little place all along the Detroit River.
Of course.
And then, and so that's what you're doing on your free times when you were a little 16, 17-year-old.
Right on, yep.
And, of course, you were playing instruments in the marching band and whatnot.
Yeah, I was doing, I think, jazz band. I think I was doing, I was involved, I think, in the musical in terms of, like, playing in the pit orchestra. I was very much in band my whole high school career.
And was the band stuff because of your folks, or was that just all on you or a family member?
I got started playing flute because my mom played the flute, and then I kind of expanded, and just, I really liked it, so I kept going with it, and then in high school, I picked up the saxophone as well as the flute, because I wanted to do jazz band, so I started playing saxophone in the marching band to get you comfortable with it.
Because saxophone in jazz band is, like, the most fun thing.
Exactly.
Because playing flute in a concert band and whatnot is okay, but jazz saxophone is where it's at. Because of playing instruments and whatnot, you didn't want that to be what you wanted to do in the future. You knew at being a sophomore that, a junior, that, teaching, that's where I wanted to go. That's what you wanted to do, right?
Right.
And so what is going through college, like trying to become a teacher. I've never done this. So, so what sort of things do you learn about how to become an educator of the youths?
Well, you have your teaching classes to teach you about how to become like a teacher. And then of course, then you have your core area where you want to, like, what do you want to teach? And you take all kinds of classes like that expand on your subject area so that essentially you'd be able to explain why the formula became a formula and et cetera, all this back information.
So you're trying to learn how to teach the kids every single aspect of things. So like if, so let's say the Pythagorean theorem, which is what, a squared plus b squared is c squared.
Yeah.
I remembered something from math. Go me. So you have to learn why that's a theorem in order to teach it to all these kids.
Yeah. And like, I'm supposed to like teach them like how it became like a theorem and how I'm supposed to connect the Pythagorean theorem with something very similar to it, which would be the distance formula and how that connects. So that they understand where it all came from.
And it was always math for you, right? It wasn't like you were going to be a science teacher. It's all about formulas and getting from A to B and finding X.
I originally wanted to do science because, like I said, the biology teacher inspired me. And so once I got through like a semester or two with going back and doing science, I realized this is not for me and that math became way easier for me anyway. So I figured I'd switch majors and do something more of math centered and then biology can be like my minor. And then eventually science just went away completely.
And while they're teaching you how to teach these kids these theorems and formulas and whatnot, are they teaching you how to handle teenagers?
No.
No?
I mean, they have, like, for the most part, explain, like, the idea of it and in the classroom and, like, classroom management and, like, the do's and the don'ts. Obviously, they told us, like, don't let them, like, you know, do stupid things like stand on a desk or something like that.
So or throw things anarchy
across the room. Right. But the whole, like, you can't teach somebody experience. So you just kind of have to, like, jump into the field and kind of grow from there. So
plus learning how to teach today's teenagers is a lot different from teaching teenagers 30 years ago, which is what your professors had to deal with, because
yeah,
technology has changed so much and their attention span has changed since, like I thought I was bad with my ADD, but These kids nowadays have techno ADD, which is worse.
It's really bad. Half the kids are like ADD, ADHD. They got a learning disability or you name it. They have something wrong. Or if they don't have any of kind of like learning disability, it's attention span, like you said.
Techno ADD. That's what I call it.
I like it.
Well,
techno ADD.
Which is not just a ADD. No, it's the little kids, and they've been surrounded by technology so much that it becomes a part of their person.
Yes.
Almost like it's been implanted into their hand.
Yeah, it's like they're almost, I would say, addicted to it.
So how do you deal with them having it in your classroom environment that you've created?
Well, I have to follow my school's policy about technology and that it's not allowed in the classroom unless the teacher dictates that yes, it's acceptable. But when we're in my room, you're not allowed to use your phone, only sparingly, and I'll let them know when it's okay to pull out your phone. But otherwise, if you have it out, I don't confiscate the phone. The administrators confiscate the phones if they're out when they're not supposed to.
And are they using computers and iPads and whatnot to do their homework for math? Or is it just pen and paper and a calculator nowadays?
Me personally, it's more paper and pencil and calculator. But there, I'm am using more computer based for homework, which nowadays you can like watch videos and then answer questions right after at. So.
Which you hope they paid attention to answer the questions afterwards, as opposed to talking to their friend.
Exactly.
That's what I would have done. We would have had one of us do it, and then the rest of us be like, "Yo, what's the answer?"
Exactly.
Have a giant, or they can just, you know, tank.
Yes.
Or trial and error. One of you get it wrong for the sake of the team.
Exactly. I mean, at least you communicate would be fine, but no, it's like, huh, I don't know. What'd you get? Let me copy all your answers. There's no like collaboration whatsoever.
And so when I was in high school, the most annoying thing ever was having a teacher tell me to show my work.
Oh yeah.
Because I might be able to find the answer by just thinking about it instead of writing it down.
Yeah.
But the teacher knows that you get the answer by doing the work as opposed to just having someone tell you the answer.
Right.
And it becomes frustrating when I would cut corners in my work just to get to the answer, because you can simplify math problems. You don't have to take every step as long as it eventually gets there, right?
Right.
Because you could do this theorem, then add this theorem to check this theorem, as opposed to, hey, it's right the first time. I'm good. Call it a day.
Exactly.
And that was some of the most frustrating things about being in high school, because already you're worried about what people think about you and how you fit in. And are you guys tap dancing over there?
John is opening something.
Oh.
I guess he can hear that.
It sounds like he's tap dancing.
Good microphone.
You're tap dancing, hon. There he goes.
Like little tiny spiders tap dancing on the ground.
Oh, it's like Ron Weasley and little spiders tap dancing. Yes.
So switching topics because we can.
Okay.
Harry Potter.
All right.
You like Harry Potter.
I do.
I take it just by that Ron Weasley comment right there. Which house do you believe you were sorted into?
I'm like torn between like three houses. So it's hard to like choose, but I feel I'm either a Hufflepuff or a Ravenclaw.
So you're a Ravenpuff.
Exactly.
Or a Huffleclaw.
Or a Huffleclaw. I like it.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
So then the big question is, since the Wizarding World of Harry Potter has existed here in the Orlando area, you guys have been to it like what, three times?
I've been to it twice. John's been to it, I think, one time.
And so what was your favorite part about the Wizarding World area?
Just walking in was my favorite part.
It wasn't a particular ride or whatnot. It was just being immersed into the experience and seeing how it could be possibly real.
Exactly.
So then what were your favorite rides there? Because there are several.
I think I like the Gringotts ride, Escape from the Bank, the best.
Do you like it better than the going through Hogwarts and being chased by a dragon, that ride?
Yeah. I liked walking through the queue to get on that ride more so than the ride itself, but I like the Gringotts ride over the castle one.
And now, since we've had a minute or so to think about it, if you had to purchase a scarf and wear their colors, which house would you wear? Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff?
I would go with Ravenclaw.
All right. We have a decision. She's a Ravenclaw.
Yes.
I love it. Good. So, yeah. So then not only are you going to get a penguin, but please have someone put a Ravenclaw scarf on the penguin.
Yes. Oh, that'd be great.
A giant penguin with a Ravenclaw. Speaking of penguins, we were at a SeaWorld not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
We went to their Antarctic exhibit. And you could go inside this weird spinning tube, and it spins, and there's lights, and you follow this little tiny penguin as it matures to an adult, and you're spinning in a giant floating raft, and all these lights are happening in a cave, and then eventually at the very end you get to the penguin exhibit.
Interesting.
We need to take you to go to the SeaWorld. That'd be a party and a half.
Yes.
They've got 3 roller coasters, I think, plus that little tiny penguin ride.
Oh, I can't tell you the last time I was there to a SeaWorld. It's been a long time. I'd be down to go.
So if you could have a Patronus, would a penguin be your Patronus?
I guess so.
Or would it be something like a jaguar? A turkey?
Oh, yeah, let's be a turkey.
You want a turkey as your Patronus?
No, I'm going to be a porg.
Okay, a porg is your... So basically, it's a penguin.
Yes.
Okay. So a little penguin is your Patronus, and it's going to scare off the Dementors.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's fair. My Patronus would be a burrito.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, I can see that.
And with that said, let's have a word from our sponsor.
Did you know with Rhino?
This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/everydaycosplayfinds for more information. And now back to our show.
Did you know with Rhino?
Going back into talking about some of your kids at school and whatnot, do they ever talk about like what they're afraid of? Do they open up and whatnot and just be like, "Hey, Mrs. D, are you Mrs. D or Mrs. C over there?"
I'm Mrs. D.
Okay.
Now. I think I've aged out all the kids that would know Mrs. C.
So they go up to you and they're like, "Yo, Mrs. C, I've got this problem," or like, Coach D, like, here's what's up. I'm afraid of, like, turtles. Do they talk about stuff like that with you?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that yeah. They'd come up and they would ask me about stuff like that, yeah.
So, like, if there was a giant turtle chasing them in their dreams, would you say go see a psychiatrist?
Yeah, maybe. There's a turtle chasing after you. I think that needs to be checked out. Or maybe it's just a way of saying somebody's chasing you and it's not a turtle in real life.
Ooh, it's a metaphorical turtle.
Exactly.
So other metaphorical turtles, I know, like when we were teenagers, you know, like the average stuff you're afraid of, like, am I going to get into college? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? What are my parents going to be feeling? Does so-and-so like me? Like, is it mostly about relationships? Is it about them learning? Is it about the future? What do they seem like more anxious and nervous about at that age?
I would say relationships among like their peers and guess drama is what I would call it.
So like, Tammy Sue said that Rebecca is a jerk because she wanted to hang out with Joseph last night, like that sort of thing.
Oh yeah,
just
definitely.
So your life is like Mean Girls.
Yes, even with the fights in the school.
So you would be Tina Fey at this point?
I don't think I'd go that far.
Okay.
But...
Well, you're the math teacher, so
that's true.
So you're helping them find limits.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Find their limits. Yeah. Quote unquote philosophical and real.
The limit does not exist.
It is October 3rd, guys, and it's Wednesday.
On Wednesdays, it's Thursday, but that's regardless of the.
Sorry.
So besides now, it sounds like John is behind you playing the glass chimes, kind of what it sounds like at this moment.
Yep, he's making dinner with chimes. Yep.
Okay, cool. So speaking of things that people are afraid of, I found a cool article that I think we should talk about.
All right.
So this article is our thing of the week, our science fact of the week. It's talking about strange phobias. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to name a phobia and you tell me what you think they're afraid of. Okay?
Okay.
All right. This is arachibutriophobia.
Spider boot.
Arachibutyrophobia. Not arachnid, but arachi. Quick guess.
You're
saying like spider something?
Like a spider boot is what I thought about it, or something to do with spider or Iraq.
So arachibutyrophobia is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth.
Awesome.
That's a thing. I never knew that was a thing. So our next one is alliumphobia.
Oh my gosh. It's something like afraid of air.
It's actually helium. The fear of garlic.
Oh.
So like the rumor had it that most vampires had alliumphobia.
Exactly. I was just going to say they're a vampire. What are you talking about?
What about phobophobia?
Fear of phobias.
That's right. Nice work. You got one. Love it. All right, here's a long word. Sesquipedalophobia. Sesquipedalophobia. Yep.
Sesquipedal. Oh gosh. Sounds like Sasquatch.
So fear of
a bike.
Fear of a bike? Nice. It's actually fear of long words.
Well, of course that is. It's a long word.
Which is weird because if you have that, you might not want to hear your diagnosis because that'd be a very twisted morbidity irony. How about ablutophobia?
Ablutophobia. Afraid of Pluto?
I'll give you a hint. If you have ablutophobia, you're probably going to smell bad after a few weeks.
Oh, no, like skunk?
It's actually a fear of bathing and cleaning.
Oh, really?
Yep, ablutophobia. All right, here is one. Dextrophobia.
Fear of being ambidextrous.
It's fear of having objects on your right-hand side.
What the heck?
I know. It's so dumb. Well, on the other side, it would be a levophobia, which is fear of having things on the left side of the body. So here's another one. Siderophobia.
Afraid of being a sidekick?
That sounds like Robin's The Boy Wonder's like absolute dreadfulness. It's actually fear of stars.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Here's something closer to your alley. Arithmophobia.
I'm afraid of math.
That is. It's a fear of numbers.
Yes.
Yeah. Arithmophobia. That's something you can tell your kids tomorrow in school.
Oh, I need to make a poster with that.
So that you know, it's arith, like arithmetic, but it's arithmophobia. Yeah. Really simple.
Arithmophobia.
To spell. There's also a logophobia.
Logo. Afraid of logos or brands?
Close. Which brands and logos are what? Words?
Right, words.
So it's afraid a fear of learning how to read. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So once again, you were close with the baluta, what was it, the stars? Nope, it was. Yeah.
No.
No, it was the bathing one, ablutophobia.
The bathing one, yeah.
So this one is now just plutophobia.
Afraid of Pluto, the planet.
It's actually the fear of money.
Oh, Pluto, got it.
Yeah. Here's a weird one. Gileophobia with a G.
Gileophobia. Oh, automatically think of like fear of healing.
It's fear of laughter.
Oh, no, it's a fear of laughing.
Yep. Let's see. Let's see. We got this one right here is omphalophobia.
Ooh. I don't know that.
That is a fear of belly buttons.
Oh my gosh.
And then naviphobia.
Not fear of direction.
You're thinking of like navigation?
Uh-huh.
Not like the blue people, the nave, like the fear of giant blue cats.
Yeah.
It's actually fear of boats.
Kind of close with blue there, I guess.
Yeah.
Blue water.
Fear of navigation and like naval, navy, boat, yeah. Boating. Fear, mm-hmm. Fear of boats.
Yeah.
So then the question leads my dear friend, what are you afraid of?
That last one.
Fear of boats?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Did it stem from a small accident when you were younger? Or?
No, I just don't like being in a boat. I like being on land, I guess.
Is it all boats? Is it like canoes? Is it paddle boats? Is it?
It's all boats, anything to do with the water. However, I think I'm pretty okay with a paddle boat for whatever reason.
So like a kayak would not be a fun idea?
I'm getting over that.
Okay. What about when you're going to like a giant theme park and they have a huge, like a huge ferry boat?
I could do that. It's a theme park. I could do that.
Cruise ships?
I've done a cruise ship. I might do it again.
So it's more like speed boats and pontoons and.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of, yeah. Fear of sinking. That's all it is. Like, I'm afraid that it's going to just sink.
You're afraid that all of a sudden you're just going to be at the bottom, but you can swim.
I can swim, but I don't want to be, like, on a cruise ship and have to swim for a while and then, like, get cramps and stuff and I can't do it.
So then the awkward part was, like, you're on a cruise ship, and in order to rescue, they drop a small lifeboat. But so then you have to get onto the lifeboat.
Right.
That must be like your worst nightmare. I'm so sorry.
Like it is.
Okay, let's change the subject for one last fear.
Okay.
Xanthophobia with an X.
Xanthophobia with an X. Afraid of Thanos.
That I'm afraid of Thanos. I mean, one small snap and like your entire world is upside down or in half.
Could be.
It's the fear of the color yellow.
Huh.
So, like, that would be people being afraid of Hufflepuffs, but no one is afraid of a Hufflepuff. Hufflepuffs are particularly good finders.
Exactly.
Did you guys see the Harry Potter musicals?
No, we haven't. We need to.
That's on your list.
That's on my list. Harry Potter musicals.
Yep, Harry Potter musical. You can actually today, like, bring up his Xbox. You don't have to play Kingdom Hearts today. You can bring up the Xbox and go to YouTube and you can watch the entire playlist and you guys could watch it by the time we next talk.
Okay.
It could be a thing. We could have an entire discussion about the Harry Potter musical world.
Ooh. We'll have to try that out.
There are a bunch of awesome jokes that I think you would love. Because there's three. There's a Harry Potter musical, there's a Harry Potter sequel, and a Harry Potter senior year. So there's three of them. You just have to know that they're not following along the stories in chronological order. They've kind of blended them together to make their own musical in order to make jokes.
Uh-huh.
So it's not 100% there, but it's all over the place.
Gotcha.
So fear of the color yellow. Are you afraid of any colors?
No. I like all the colors.
What's your favorite color?
I like red.
Red. Is it like a cherry red? Is it a light red? Is it a crimson red? What are we talking about?
All of it.
All red.
All red.
Is this why you've had a red car since I've known you?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you and your red Jeep, you know, rocking around.
Yeah, well, I don't have my Jeep anymore.
Oh, no, that's right. You got a new fancy Mazda thing.
Yeah, I do. It's red, though. It's really shiny.
Now, does it have a CD player?
It does.
That's the weirdest thing. We were doing a rental car, trying to travel up to South Carolina to go to Hilton Head, and our rental car did not have a CD player.
What?
So we had to use everything on like a USB stick or something.
Okay. Or like an aux cord or something.
Yeah. I don't get it. Like, it's
CDs are still existing. Why would you get rid of that? It's like the basic function of a car.
Yeah, like you don't have to have a cassette player or an 8-track player, but at least have a CD player.
Right.
I hope my next car has a CD player.
I hope so too.
So what are you currently watching / listening to?
We're kind of like in between things right now. I think we're waiting to go with, we're in the middle of like, I think Flash and the whole Arrowverse and Daredevil and Punisher and all that stuff. I think we're all in between all of those.
We have been watching Lucifer.
Oh, yes. Lucifer. I haven't seen that, but it looks pretty good.
Also put that on your guys' list. For those of you who are listening, Lucifer is a story of the devil come to Los Angeles at a nightclub, and he does favors and works for the police, kind of like Castle. So he helps solve crimes in order to punish them, because he's not a bad guy. He just likes his job is to punish bad people.
So he's like the Punisher.
Yeah, but he doesn't murder them. So that's a good story. what are you listening to nowadays? Any cool bands or? Are you guys listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers always? Or?
That's always in John's car. Like I said, I'm listening to, if I'm not listening to Greatest Showman, I've got Maroon 5.
Maroon 5. Is it old Maroon 5, modern Maroon 5? Is it like Kiwi or?
I think it's got, I don't think their most recent CD. I don't think I have it. It's one of their newer albums is what I have in my car.
So it's not Songs About Jane?
No, I don't think so. I've got Animals, whatever the CD that's on.
Okay. Sounds like a good time. And so my final question before we head out is, what is your favorite food to cook? Your favorite meals to cook?
Favorite meals to cook.
It's probably not the one that John's eating right now because he's not eating a meat. I can hear his spoon hitting the bowl.
Yeah, he was eating one of them. I like what we made, I think, last night. Actually, it was like one of my favorites. It's like chili and cornbread.
Chili and cornbread? We had that
and
last
one
week.
One dish. It's all combined.
Cornbread chili?
Yeah.
Nice. What else? Like let's say like you're home for, you got a weekend and you go to the grocery store. Like what really speaks to you? What do you want to make?
Tacos or anything with tacos, burritos, nachos. Yeah, anything to do with that.
And so then the ultimate question, which is a question I'll be asking everyone online this week. Queso, guac, or salsa? What is your favorite out of the three? What do you think is, which would you prefer out of the three? You got to pick one. Gun to your head.
Oh, I would pick queso.
Queso over guac and salsa.
Yes, and then guac slowly, or right after that one.
All right. Well, you heard it here, folks. If you want to join in, all you've got to do is email us at didyouknowryano@gmail.com. We'll answer any question, anything whatsoever. You can ask us why the sky is blue. You can ask me what is the exact tone that John is making using the spoon and the bowl. You could ask us any single question and we'll try to find an answer for you. Also, you can join in on discussion on Twitter at DidYouKnowRyanO or on the Facebook page, Did You Know with Ryan O. Thank you very much, Rachel, for joining us on this adventure.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
It's been my absolute pleasure. And for those of you out there, find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I'm Ryan O. We'll see you next time.